Review very briefly what we said in Shir yesterday regarding Tosfos. So there was what was the problem? Particularly depend upon those of you who were here. What was the problem that Tosfos faced?
That didn't make sense for every Yehud that he goes there by Katana Gioret, but not by Bakshal Gioret, if we have more reason if he goes there on Bakshal
Gioret. Well, you're jumping ahead. The problem is that our Gemara here suggests the gears that we have is that Rabbi Yehuda holds that a giores from above the age of 3 years in a day where be as possible has to wait the shloshas chodshei avchana, even though she can't become pregnant. Now that in itself wouldn't be a shock, in that there is a brisa, there are shitas that believe that you have to have havchana. You know, when a woman remarries, even in situations where we know she's not pregnant, if her husband was comatose for the last 6 months, she still requires 3 month wait, according to some Tanai. Problem was that the Gyrsa, as some have it, in the Brisa in Yevamos, was that Rabbi Meir held that no matter what, a woman has to wait 3 months. That is an absolute low plug gezera. But Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Rabbi Yehuda says that all such women are not subject to the gezerah, which included Ketana. Now, the Ketana in that brisa was presumably which Ketana? Ketana Bas Yisrael. Not a Ketana Gioris, but Ketana Bas Yisrael. So, if Rabbi Yehuda... Now, but right now, we're not up to... We could make a distinction, but Rabbi Yehuda here says that a Ketana has to wait. Rabbi Yehuda there says a Ketana doesn't have to wait. So one solution, which Tosfos mentions in the last line, of course, is if you have a different girsa in that Gemara and Dachman Beis and Beis and Yevamos, namely which reads Rabbi Yose instead of Rabbi Yehuda, problem solved. But if you assume that in fact it's Rabbi Yehuda there and it's Rabbi Yehuda here, then we have a problem, because are you goes there by Ketana or you not goes there by Ketana? And the temptation was to make what kind of a distinction?
You'd be more likely to make the
gezerah,
but not by
Bas Yisrael. Right. Say that Rabbi Yehuda goes there by Gioras Ketana, but he's not goes there by a Bas Yisrael Ketana. The problem with that, as Tosfos points out, is threefold. Number one, the Svarafim being goes there by a Ketana, there are more reasons for being goes there by a Ketana Bas Yisrael than a Ketana Gioras, number one. Number two, Shmuel, in the first blush of the beast, in Yevamos Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, where Shmuel says exactly the opposite. Shmuel says that a Giyores Ketana, there's no Gzerabai, whereas a Bas Yisrael Ketana, there is a Gzerabai, and a Giyores Gedola, there's a Gzerah just like by a Bas Yisrael Gedola. So there, Shmuel says exactly the opposite. If you're going to be Gozer, Ketana Atu Gedola, you're going to do so by a Giyores, you're going to do so by a Bas Yisrael, not by a Giyores. That's what Shmuel said there, in which case, his Svara would be the exact inverse of Rabbi Yehuda here. That was question number two. And question number three was that if that is Shmuel's position there, if this is Rabbi Yehuda's position, there is no Tana. There's no Tana who Shmuel holds like. In other words, Shmuel's position on Giores fits with nobody. Shmuel's distinction between a Gedola and a Tana works with nobody, because Rabbi Yehuda holds you always goes there on a Giores, Ketana and Gedola. And Rabbi Yose holds you never goes there on a Giores, Gedola, or Ketana. And therefore, Shmuel is the Lokaman. The Lokachad. He doesn't follow either opinion. So there were a couple of interim possible solutions in Tosfos, one of which solved the problem at least a little bit, was the Lishna Basra of Shmuel. In the Lishna Basra of Shmuel, Shmuel held what? That there's no Gzeir at all by Ketana, and there's only Gzeir by Gedola Abbas Yisrael, not by Gedola Gioris. So then at least Shmuel's position on Ketana is like Rabbi Yose, and his position on Gedola is probably also like Rabbi Yose. That only goes there by a strong Gedola, not goes there by a Giores. Now, there was another possible solution which would have solved the problem, which was, there are actually two differences between our Sugya and the other Sugya. What are the two differences? And this is really a crucial point. Part of it forms the answer that Tosfos ultimately likes. Moshe?
The Ukimta?
One is the Ukimta, which is our Gemara says that our Gemara, remember, was, don't forget, we're learning Ksubos. And we're learning the sugya here. And what prompted the Gemara's whole problem here? Why does the Gemara mention this issue about Havkana, right? This has nothing to do with the Ksubos. What causes the Gemara to draw this in here?
See if Rabbi Yehuda really holds with Dushan Zekai for Kana.
Problem is that Rabbi Yehuda says by Yeshvuya, which is on the list here, Rabbi Yehuda says by Yeshvuya in the Mishnah that Yesh Laknas, that she is not the Cheskas Be'ula. We don't assume that a woman who's taken captive was actually raped by our captors. And yet Rabbi Yehuda seems to require a Shvuya to wait 3 months after she is ransomed to make sure she's not pregnant. So we'll know, if she is pregnant, we'll know who the baby is from. So here's the problem. You just said that a Shvuya is a Ches Chazaka, that she was Lo Nivala. So how can you turn around and say that a Shvuya requires Havchana? So what was the Gemara's answer, which does not appear at all in the Sugya of Amos Moshe? What was the Gemara's answer here to solve that problem? What ukimta does it make?
It says that this is what we're talking about, where we saw that she was Nivala.
Right. The Mishnah is a case of a regular Shvuya. But the Shvuya in the Braisa, where Rabbi Huda says you require Chodshei Havchana, is when we saw that, we know. We saw that she was raped by our captors. Then she's got to wait 3 months. That was what Rabbi Huda said. Of course, which prompted a problem. What was the problem that it prompted?
That doesn't appear in
the Well, so that may solve our problem. Just a problem in our Gemara specifically.
How could you ever say that she was the Kedushat Zakai and she saw her getting...
No, Rabbi Huda doesn't say that. Nobody says that.
Rabbi Yose.
What's difficult to Rabbi Yose? Rabbi Yose?
Why is she...
Why doesn't she have to wait?
No, there's no Knas. Rabbi Yose doesn't say that. Rabbi Yose is not going to say Rosh Hashanah she gets a Knas.
Right, exactly.
Right, now the point is for Rabbi Yose, the Gemara, this is just a review of the Gemara. Why is it that he requires, why does he not require her to wait? And the answer ultimately the Gemara gives is that, and we're going to have to revisit this a little bit, is Rabbi Yose says that a woman under those circumstances avoids getting pregnant. Okay, again, as we jokingly said, that politician, I don't remember his name, in Missouri, you know, women who get pregnant after being raped, it's because they wanted to get pregnant. Because if they wanted not to get pregnant, they have ways of, they're not wanting it, somehow stops that. Okay, so Rabbi Yose apparently agreed with that. So people didn't know he was citing Rabbi Yose Shita. So anyway, the bottom line is Rabbi Yose says that women have a way of, you know, their artificial form of contraception, whatever it is, to prevent themselves from becoming pregnant. And therefore, even though Ruach Shenevala, they don't have to wait Shloshes Chodshei Havchana. So in this context, so our Gemara has two differences from the Gemara Yevamos. One is that the Gemara Yevamos never makes the Sukkimta with the Rabbi Yehuda. But then, if you say that this is a case of Ruach Shenevala, then you can explain away the Stira with Shmuel. Astira with Rabbi Yehuda in Yevamos. Why? Because where does Rabbi Yehuda say a katana doesn't require Havchana? When lo ra'uah shenivala, but by ra'uah shenivala, it's a totally different case. It's a totally different case. That was what Tosa says. Umiyu l'may demoki. It's the beginning of a line. It's about 7 or 8 lines down. And Tosa umiyu l'may demoki l'hach tahacha b'sharuah shenivala osi shapik Rabbi Yehuda. Umatzina lamemar the daf gebroa shenevela kam Rabbi Yehuda the gazrina katana ato gedola. Aval osa shena vaday beulalam. Okay, and then Tosfos goes on to explain. I don't want to go through that. This is what we did on the chart yesterday. That if you hold like the lishna vaser of Shmuel, you still have a stira within Rabbi Yehuda, but at least you solve the problem of what Tosfos called the ipcha problem. Because when you look at the lishna vaser of Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda and Shmuel are no longer arguing in the following fashion. According to the Lishna Kama, Rabbi Yehuda believes it's more relevant to be gozer on a Gioras Kitana versus a Gioras Gedola, but not so much on a Bas Yisrael Kitana versus Bas Yisrael Gedola. And Shmuel holds exactly the opposite. It's more shayach to be gozer on a Bas Yisrael Kitana or to Bas Yisrael Gedola, but not so shayach to be gozer on a Gioras Kitana or to Gioras Gedola. And Tosfos just said it doesn't make sense that they should think that the Svara, whether to be gozer Kitana or to Gedola, should be so much in the opposite directions. In the Lishna Basar Shmuel, that Ipcha doesn't exist. If you work out the Shitos and the cases, it turns out there's no Ipcha in that regard. There is a difference whether you're more goes there by Gioris versus Bas Yisrael or Bas Yisrael versus Gioris, but it fundamentally has to do with completely different issues. What ultimately was the answer Tosfos actually liked that solved all the problems? Yudi?
Well,
take out the Girsa of Yetera Mibashala Shariyamehad.
Right. If you take out the Yeseris Mibashala Shariyamehad, which apparently most of the Svarim that they had didn't have anyway, so then you solve the problem. Now, Tosfos does, it points out it's not in the Tosef, and he points out it's not in the Gemara Yevamos. It's a little dangerous working on the Gemara Yevamos, and I didn't say this yesterday for a couple of reasons. Firstly, although the logic is circular, if you're going to argue that Re'ua Shenivala is in Ukimta here, maybe both things go together. Maybe the reason why, as we explained, that Yeseri Bashal Shanim Echad requires Havchana by Giyaris Katana is because Re'ua Shenivala. Maybe that's exactly the difference between the two sigyos. And one problem, or one additional Kimta solve the other. But there's a more fundamental problem with arguing let me say it differently. Is it clear that the Gemara and Yevamos thinks that we're not talking about a case of Re'ua Shenivala?
It's not clear.
Well, it doesn't say anything. Well, why would you say it doesn't hold the Ukimta of Re'ua Shenivala?
Because
it doesn't say anything. Why is the silence not necessarily indicative? No. Well, we don't know about the relationship between the two sugyas, remember. Why does the Gemara here introduce the Ukimta of Re'ua Shenivala?
Because it's relevant.
Because of the Mishnah. But that sugya is not dealing with our Mishnah. So it's perfectly conceivable the sugya that would agree that Re'ua Shenivala is in fact salient. So that's why, you know, so it's a little bit tricky, and I don't have an answer to the question. How do you glue these two sugyas together? To what extent do you assume that they are one and the same? And to what extent do they operate in completely different planes? Now, if you have both shinuyim, if you have the shinuy of Re'ua Shenivala, you assume it applies here, which it does, and you assume it doesn't, it's not assumed by the Gemara Yevamos, then there's really, on some level, no compelling need to actually change the girsa here. However, Tosfos says that given that it's not a Yevamos, I would say more importantly, it's not in the Tosefta, then the answer is very simple. There's no stira, Rabbi Yehuda, because the words aren't here to create a stira. Rabbi Yehuda holds you not gozer on a katana. You not gozer on a katana bas Yisrael, like he says explicitly against Rabbi Meir. You're not gozer on a katana giyores, because he doesn't say yiseir shu bashal shana yamecha. He says giyores v'shivcha ushvuya sheniftu sheniskay v'shenishtachachu tzrichos lahantin. He means a gedola. Period. No stira. And if that's the case, there's no ipcha with Shmuel. And we know also who does Shmuel hold like. So Tosfos explains, he goes through the Shach Levitaria, that if you hold like Lishna Kam of Shmuel, then Shmuel holds like Rabbi Meir, maybe by one din, by Ketana Bas Yisrael, and he holds like Rabbi Yehuda by Giores. If you go by the Lishna Bas of Shmuel, he's probably holding like Rabbi Yosei, and so on and so forth. And the details don't concern me, but just to serve as a reminder, and with this I finish the Chazar of Tosfos, that once you have the three questions of Tosfos, A, B, and C, make sure when Tosfos gives an answer, and for every answer that Tosfos gives, how exactly does his answer solve those problems? You know, it's bad enough when a new solution creates new problems, but it's worse when a new solution doesn't solve the old problems. A solution that doesn't solve the old problems is not a solution. A solution that solves the old problems creates new problems. Well, those are new problems. Maybe it's not a good solution, but a solution it is. Okay. Now, next point in our Gemara. Just in the flow of Shach Levitaria, we often don't read Shach Levitaria slowly enough to read carefully. So the Gemara said as follows. Rabbi Yosei holds that even though Ru'a Shenivala, you don't require Havchana. What is the Gemara? Remember, the Gemara had a kasha between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yehuda, right? How can Rabbi Yehuda say in the Mishnah that a Shvuya is Biktushasa and she gets a Kanas? If Rabbi Yehuda in the Braisa says that a Shvuya, Shenifteis, has to wait 3 months before marriage. So what was the Gemara's answer? Again. Ru'a Shenivala. What are the next two words out of the Gemara's mouth? Ihachi. Ihochi, my time of the Rabbi Yose. And whenever the Gemara says Ihochi, and at first glance, the truth is when you're reading the Gemara yourself, you're never going to pick up on this question. You're only going to pick up on the question of Tosos if you read the Gemara through to the Maskana and then come back. Whenever the Gemara says Ihochi, what does that imply? Whenever the Gemara makes an ukimta, that's usually the words Ihochi virtually always follow an ukimta. What happens after, what does Ihochi imply? What's that? Alex? Exactly. Ihochi means, were it not for the previous ukimta, I wouldn't be asking this question. Ihochi says, if so, if your ukimta is correct, okay, now what do you do with this problem? You solved Rabbi Yehuda against Rabbi Yehuda, but now you've created a problem. How do you understand Rabbi Yosei Shita? That's what Ihochi always means. Now, most of the time, it's not controversial. Except for there's a little problem. What's the little problem? Is that when you get to the end of the Gemara, after the Gemara's discussion, discussing the various permutations of Rabbi Yosei, of Yotzev Shein Ayin, and so on and so forth, what does the Gemara quote? A Braisa, Vitanya, Anusa Umafuta, Tzrichos Lahamtin Gimel Chadashim, Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosei Mater, Li'ares V'Linase Miyad. So what's the problem? What is the problem? Mati?
It should have been obvious. It's obvious that Rabbi Yosi, if in this case Mufuta and Anusa, he allows them to marry immediately, so then in case of Ra'uha, Shnivala is not that much of a chiddush for his opinion.
Okay, but you're right, but you got to flip the question on its head. You got it backwards. Which is, the Gemara is making it sound like the only reason why we have a kasha and Rabbi Yosei is because we made an ukimta in this brisa or shenevala, right? In other words, if the brisa was not dealing with a case where we saw the woman actually have bia, right? We would understand Rabbi Yosei's position makes perfect sense, right? If you didn't see her nivala, Rabbi Yosei says we don't assume she was nivala. That's what we would assume. Wrong. Why is that wrong? Because we have another brisa that says anusa mafuta. Rabbi Yosei says don't have to wait. So even if you didn't make the ukimta of Ra'ua Shenivala in this brisa, you still have a problem with Rabbi Yosei. You still have the kasha. Why does Rabbi Yosei not require avchana? Namely, by Anusa and Mefuta. That's the problem. Read the beginning of this Tosfos. Zach? Ihochi, my kind of Rabbi Yosei. Okay, so that's the question. Why does the Gemara think it's discovered America? Ah, if you make this ukimta and this brisa, my time in the Rabbi Yosei. But if it weren't for that, we wouldn't have akasha. Of course we have akasha. We have the brisa later, anusa mafuta. Now the rest of the Tosos centers around one particular issue, which is, should be uncontroversial, but fundamentally is very controversial. See, this is a Tosos that, I know I invited you on Sunday. There's not going to be shir on Sunday because I'm speaking multiple times at KJIC. In fact, the way they arranged the three speakers, they put me last exactly when I became a shir anyway, but I couldn't have come. I have to be there for all three. So I think it's like the title is between Voloshin and Berlin or something like that. The role of academic Talmud in the base matters. That's the title. So this is the kind of question, the kind of answer that Tosfos is about to entertain and discuss is something that you think you'd hear more coming out of the academy, which in reality has nothing to do with the academy. This is a question we show them ask all the time, which is, who knew what they knew when they knew it? Put differently here, does the sugya here know of the brisa later? Does the maksha know that brisa? It's possible if the makshan here doesn't know the brisa of anusa mafuta, doesn't know it yet, so that's why they think ihochi. If they knew the brisa, then Tosa says, it's very hard to understand why they would say ihochi. They knew for Rabbi Yosei you had to give a reason anyway about whatever the reason is, that an isha zona is mishamesh es bemoch, is misapeches. If the Tana here, the Makshan here, not the Tana, if the Makshan didn't know the Braisa later, then they think, in light of this strange Ukipta, they have to twist themselves into a pretzel to explain Rabbi Yosef. Only if they didn't know it.
Could it be that it's trying to back Rabbi Yosef into it? They know the Braisa, but they're trying to back Rabbi Yosef into a corner, but they don't see the answer of Isha Misapeches coming. So they think that first we'll get you to say, we'll corner Rabbi Yossi.
But how are they cornering him? In other words, if I know you have a much bigger problem against Rabbi Yossi, I knew that. In other words, bottom line is, what is my problem with Rabbi Yossi? Is that a woman you've seen had Bia, she was Nivala, how can you not say that she requires Havchana? Well, the answer is we have another Bryce that says explicitly, a woman who's had Bia doesn't require Havchana, and Nusa Mafuta. And if you think about it, the truth is, what is a shvuya anyway?
Probably an anusa.
So you already know that an anusa requires doesn't require Havchana according to Rabbi Yosef. So what do you mean ihachi? If you make the sukkimta, then my time in Rabbi Yosef. But if not, we would have no problems. We know Rabbi Yosef already has an odd shita. Oh, shita, we're not expecting Yaakov.
Let's also assume that this person who asks the second kasha from the Braita wouldn't know about this person.
I would ask the question differently. Is the person who asked the kasha from the Braita the same person who's asking this first kasha? Let's put it that way.
If it is the same person, then the problem I'm saying,
it only matters if the first person knows of the second person, not if the second person knows of the first person.
Why?
Well, because if the first person knew of the second person asking his kasha, then he would know the brisa.
Well, the second person doesn't know the first person.
That doesn't matter one way or the other. The second person could ask this question just looking at the brisa of Anusa Mafuta. But the first person shouldn't say, Ihochi, or whoever the first person is, Ihochi, we have a kasha. My time with
the
Rabbi Yosef.
The second person gets essentially the same answer as the first person.
No, indeed. But Tosus, that's why Tosus is reading so carefully, and he knows the conclusion. What do you mean, Ihochi? Listen, there's a simple answer to Tosus' question. This is not the most compelling example, Tosus, where Tosus goes with this. You could say, Inachanami, he knew that, but he's setting it up anyway. In other words, he knows it, but he hasn't introduced the Braisa yet. So right now, he's still playing with Rabbi Yosef Shita in a place that he knows it can't go. Okay, but Tosus thinks that's odd. He thinks that the Amakshan should show all his cards now. The Amakshan should show all his cards now. So what does Tosus comment as an answer? And this is really part of the question. Lefi hasugya. So what does that line mean? Right. It sounds like this Makshan. If you read the flow of the Gemara, right? The Rami Shvuya Ashvuya. That's how it began, and it's probably still Rav Papa Bar Shmuel talking to Rabbi Yosef. So Rav Papa Bar Shmuel is talking to Rabbi Yosef. He presents him with the stira. And Rabbi Yosef doesn't know the answer. So Rabbi Yosef says, "Have you heard anything?" So Rapapa Rav Shmuel quotes Rav Sheshes as saying Rosh Hanivala. So Ihochi, it's either the Makshan or it could just be a Stam Makshan, or it could be Rapapa or it could be Rabbi Yosef in response. But it's probably the Gemara. Ihochi my time with Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbah gives an answer. And then the Makshan continues. Ela Yotze B'Shein, with the Bishlama. Bishlama, Gioras, and so on and so forth.
So is running under the assumption that unless it says that the Makshan throughout the Gemara, or at least throughout a single Sugya, is always one person unless it says otherwise?
Well, correct. In other words, in the span of these relatively small number of lines, it's one person presenting a line of challenge. In other words, he asks Akasha, Rav Yosef turns the question back to Rav Papa Bar Shmuel. Rav Papa Bar Shmuel doesn't have, and Rav Papa Bar Shmuel gives him an answer from Sheshes. Then somebody, asks a question, Ihochi my time of the Rabbi Yosef, and it's all him talking now. And Ihochi my time of the Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi gives the answer, Kasavra of Sheshes. Isha Mizana Mishameshes Meloshet Zaber, Bishlama presumably is still the Makshan talking.
Okay.
You haven't answered my question. So he goes through the whole thing, and then he says that you can't say that Yotze B'Shem Ba'ayim is an exception, and every Memela is an exception, because Rabbi Yossi says in Anusa Mefuta, which is Memela, doesn't require Avchana, and quotes the Braisa. So it seems to be the same person who says the Yochi is the one who quotes the Braisa. So how does Tosus raise the possible solution to this problem?
So Amar le Abaye
could mean that it's a different person. The Ihachi is probably Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef, Satosa says in continuation, well, the figure says, oh, Abai is the one who brings the Braisa. Chain who Girsa? Right, so Tosa says that that's the Girsa in the Gemara there, that it's Abaye. Yes?
Is it good
Yesh Svarim? What did you say? Oh, yeah, no, Yesh Svarim. Yes, Yesh Svarim, the Garse. So that's the solution. So here, This is, you know, sort of a very important point that comes up many places in Rishonim and Shas. Amorayim are expected to know all of the
Mishnayis.
But they do not necessarily know all Brises. And the solution to the problem here is by to explain that Abaye, who asked the question from the Brisa, knew the Brisa, but the earlier Makshan, who might be Rabbi Yosef, it's not explicit, the earlier Makshan doesn't know the Brisa. That's why the earlier Makshan thought the following. If not for being forced into a corner with Rabbi Yehuda, with the steerer within Rabbi Yehuda to have to say, Ruach Shanibala, I wouldn't have had any kashas in Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef says that if we don't know that the woman had Bia, we don't assume that she had Bia. We're not Gozer on top of that Avchana. And Rabbi Yehuda is Gozer. But once you tell me that Rabbi Yehuda only goes there by Shvuya in a case of Rosh Hashanah, and Rabbi Yosef is not even closer there, so then what do I do? Now I have a problem. I had a problem anyway because Rabbi Yosef says in the Braisa, Anusa Mefuta don't require Avchana. Very nice, but the Makshan didn't know that Braisa. He didn't know that Braisa. So from his vantage point, Ihachi, from his vantage point, the Teretz that Rosh Hashanah gave creates the problem for Rabbi Yosef. Okay? Alright, that's Tosus number one. Comment number two, second Tosus. Amar Rabba. Your chavrus has stepped out, so I will punish somebody else in the meantime. Who saw the next Tosus? Nobody wants to admit it. Come on, guys. I'm getting the same four volunteers. I don't have to go into volunteering people. Sam, I know, but I'm calling you anyway. It was just—it's your unlucky day. Go ahead. Amar Rabba Kasava Rabbi Yosef. So Rabba was the one who explained that Rabbi Yosef holds Isha Mizana Mishameshes, and then ultimately the Gemara says Mishameshes Bemo, and ultimately the Gemara says Rabba says Misapeches. Okay. Mihu? What is Tosus talking about? What does this mean? If you did read Tosus, you can answer also. Shlai, now you're in trouble, right?
Indeed. Yes.
Let's review the beginning of the sugya for a moment. Remember what happened at the beginning of the sugya. You had a fellow named Rabbi Yehuda and a fellow named Rabbi Dosa. What did Rabbi Yehuda say? He said in our Mishnah that a Shvuya Hareya Bikdushasa, and she is entitled to Kinas. What did Rabbi Dosa say? A Shvuya who is redeemed is Ocheles Vitruma, which assumes that she wasn't Nivelas. So what is Rabbi Yochanan quoted as saying? What does Rabbi Yochanan quote? What does Rabbi Yochanan say to open the Gemara? that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Dosa are of the same opinion. Namely that what? That a shvuya is b'cheskas besula still, or cheskas shelonivala b'shivyusa. B'shivya. That's what Rabbi Yochanan said, that Rabbi Yehuda's position is, Miss Mishnah, that a shvuya was not nivalas. Rambah himself said what? Not necessarily. You could explain either Rabbi Yehuda or Rabbi Dosa as being a very narrowly constructed exception to the assumption that a shvuya was nivalis. You know what? Rabbi Yehuda really believes that a shvuya likely was nivalis, but she wasn't certainly nivalis. And since it's possible she wasn't nivalis, and the guy who rapes her is a chote and a rasha, shkidei shelo yehichote niskar, we will treat her as a basula. Now, if you say that, then what's the stira between Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah, and Rabbi Yehuda who says that a shvuya requires shloshes chodshei avchana? What is the stira? And the survey says, Yaakov? If Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah says that a shvuya is b'kdushasa, not because she's definitely bula, but b'kadei shelo yehichote niskar, so what is the stira then between the Rabbi Yehuda and the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda of Shloshes Chodshei Avchana for Shvuya? Nothing! There is no stira! There's no stira! Because Rabbi Yehuda didn't say that a Shvuya wasn't Nivala. Probably she was Nivala. You should require Shloshes Chodshei Avchana. If you write her a Ksuba, how much is it going to be? Mana! Ah, why in the Mishnah does he say Rebek Dushasa that she gets a knas? Because maybe she wasn't Nivala, even though that maybe is not such a strong maybe. We don't want to reward the guy who raped her. Him, we're going to make him pay knas. If that's the case, there's no stira. But if there is no stira, then why does Rabbah open his mouth to solve the problem here? So that's what Tosa says. Aliba the Rabbi Yochanan Mishani. Rabbah is only answering here for Rabbi Yochanan. Bilididei, the Mefarish time at Rabbi Yehuda Shlochei Teniskar, lo kashamini. But then Tosus backtracks. What does Tosus say in the last comment? What is really Tosus' question? If you had to sum it up in one line, what is Tosus' question? Why does Rabbah try to solve a problem he doesn't believe exists? So Tosus says, Rabbah didn't say for sure that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Dosa don't agree with one another. Rabbah just said it wasn't mucharach that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Dosa agree with one another. But it could very well be, that they do agree with one another. Rabbah just said it's not mucharach. Ndil malohi. Maybe. Zach?
No, I guess kind of prove that Tosa's question isn't
Notice he doesn't give the answer Vidilma Umir Rabba lo Carmel Dilma there.
He's not really concerned, I guess, with the fact that we already
if it had been another Amora, he would have just point another Tosis would have been content to say this Kasha and this Ksugya is only Libid Rabbi Yochanan, not Libid Rabba. What gets Tosis worked up is that it's Rabba answering the question. So then you have to say that Rabba is either doing Rabbi Yochanan a favor, as the Gemara sometimes, here it doesn't spell that out, but sometimes the Gemara says, the Gemara will ask a Kasha, why is the Amora giving an answer? He doesn't hold to the Kasha. He's saying, there's a Gemara in Shabbos in Parakala Kalim where it says, with the Kasha and a Braisa against Abaye, and the Gemara says, Turgama Rava Liba Dabaye, Rava explained how Raya wouldn't deal with the Braisa. And Rava was saying, I disagree, but I don't think this Braisa is a Raya for me because I could explain it according to Abaye interpreted in this fashion. So Tosa says, that's what Rava is doing here. Rabbi is saying, I don't have a kasha, but for Rabbi Yochanan, this is what you would say.
Or
Rabbi himself is bothered by the question, because even though he said Duma, Lohi, and so on, maybe it's only Kadesh Lechote Niskar, nonetheless, Rabbi wanted to cover all his bases. So he said, you know what? Maybe I do need to answer the kasha. Okay. That was Tosis number 2 here. Finally, Tosis number 3, which is an issue. It's an issue. I don't know if Kasha number 2 is discussed in the other Rishonim, but first Tosos and third Tosos. but especially the third Tosis is discussed by all the Rishonim, because theoretically there's an afka min al halacha, not very practical for us, but what? Yeah, one moment. Your torture, well, you have a hiatus in your torture. So let's look at the flow of the Gemara one more time. Rabba's answer for Rabbi Yose, why does Rabbi Yose not require a shvuya to wait 3 months, is that an isha who's mezana is mishameshes b'moch. She keeps some type of birth control handy with her, whatever the moch is. Again, we'll discuss that in a couple dot later. She keeps it with her, and she uses it when necessary. Now, of course, the idea that the woman keeps it with her is an assumption that she's making she's going to need it. Why would she assume that she's going to need a moch? So the Gemara says, so that's what either anonymously the Gemara has, or Abayi says, and Tosis is other case. And what is that? He says that, look, you know why a giyores has a moch with her? Just in case. Because she knows she's converting soon. And she doesn't want to mix up her Jewish kids. She doesn't want to have confusion as the status of her child. And she doesn't want to be pregnant when she converts. Okay? Not good. So that's why she does that. A shvuya makes sure that if she's raped, she knows she could be raped. I'll explain what Rashi does. And she knows that she might be ransomed, and therefore she wants to be ready. Again, I would assume
Would she be able to get ready? Isn't she already captured at that
point? No. She wants to be ready in case the day comes that she's ransomed. She doesn't want to be pregnant at the time. So she makes sure that she has a milk somehow. That's not a problem.
Isn't she under control by them? They're not allowed.
She is. Well, what do they care? A milk is a cloth. The truth is, I think it would be better to explain. It's the interesting case. It would be better to explain that a... you can't actually. Never mind. The question is, what is this moch? Oh, no, I guess you could. What is a moch? There are two possibilities. We spoke about this. We're talking about it at much greater length. A moch is either some type of a barrier, which obviously requires insertion before tashmish, or a moch is just a cloth to wipe herself out later. So the Gemara says that, again, Bishlama Gioris knows that she's converting, and therefore she prepares herself. A shvuya also knows that she might, I said, get raped any day. She knows that she could be ransomed at some point, and she makes sure, therefore, she's prepared in case they take her to rape her, so she has a moch also ready. Again, either inserted in or she's carrying her. It's not a captors don't care. However, the Gemara says, even a shifcha might know that her master was preparing to free her or something like that. She got wind of that. So she also might use a moch in those circumstances. That's true by a shifcha who's freed by the adam. But the Gemara says, if you have a woman who's yotze b'shein v'ayin, if she's yotze b'shein v'ayin, but she had tashmish sometime before, and again, I don't understand why, but apparently, if she's going to remain a shifcha, she doesn't care about getting pregnant. It's fine with her. It's only if she's going to go free that she don't want to be dealing with this child of questionable status. So the Gemara says, a yotze b'shein v'ayin, how does she know in the first place to use the moch? If after all, she never knows that she's going to be freed. So the Gemara says, unless you say that a woman who is totally unprepared, anything that happens mamela, that could potentially interfere with the child status, Rabbi Yose's maskim that you need shlosh chachev chana. The Gemara says, what about anusa mafuta? Now that woman, she doesn't know to be have a moch. Why? Because she doesn't expect to be raped or seduced. Thus, the Gemara says, you can't explain Rabbi Yose, but na isha mezana mishamesh es b'moch. So now the Gemara turns around and says, what? Misapeches. How does that solve the problem?
Because it's afterwards.
What's that?
She doesn't need preparations before.
So which problems does that solve?
So it solves anusa mafuta. Does it solve a regular case of giyores? Yes, you didn't need it, but yes. Does it solve a regular case of shivcha?
Yeah.
Does it solve a case of shvuya?
Yeah.
Does it solve a case of yotze v'shein v'ayin? How? The whole point, every other case, the woman, when she has bia, forcibly or not, every other case, she knows what's coming down the pike. She knows she's going to convert. She knows the Adon's going to free her with a ashtar. She knows that our captors might take her to be ransomed. She, in the case of Anusa Mafuta, immediately she knows she doesn't want to get pregnant. Right? In other words, when the Bia happens, the woman knows she doesn't want to be pregnant. So, she does whatever Misapechas is. But if you're talking about a Yotze B'Shein V'Ayin, and again, on the assumption that a regular shifcha doesn't care to prevent conception, only a shifcha who knows that she's going to be free, how in God's name does the shifcha Yotze B'Shein V'Ayin know that she's going to be free, that she should? How is she different than any other shifcha who hasn't heard from the Adon that he intends to free her? The answer is, she isn't. She isn't. So that's what Tos look into. So, Isha Mizana Misapeches.
The Hashta Lokasha Anusa Mukuta Mihu Yasa Bashem Bahayan Moda Rabbi Yossi the Srikal Hampton Doso Lama
Mama Tisapech. So in effect what Tosos is saying is that we notice that Gemara asked the Kasha. The Gemara asked the Kasha about Yotze B'Shein V'Ayin. And it deflected a deflection. I know, that's funny. It deflected a deflection of the Kasha by noting that Rabbi Yossi also holds a shita by Onus HaMefata, by Anusa Mafuta. When the Gemara gives the answer, Ela Amaraba, the question of Yotze B'Shein V'Ayin remains in place. Now note that Tosus says, and you know what, the kash of Yotze B'Shein V'Ayin remains in place. Why is the Gemara satisfied now, but it wasn't satisfied earlier? This is the problem, by the way, that motivates some Rishonim to claim, and I don't remember exactly how. I think the Ramban agrees with Tosos, and most Rishonim agree, but some Rishonim are motivated to explain that somehow Shein V'Ayin is solved now. Why? In the flow of the Gemara, think about it. Why do they feel it's so important? Why does Tosos feel they can get away without solving the problem of Shein V'Ayin?
Because now, normally, by Mamela, Rabbi Yossi would hold that you could be mitapecha, but if you don't know.
No, but that's the svar as to why to distinguish. But why does Tosos feel content to not solve the problem of Shein V'Ayin? But he feels the need to solve onus, that it's important the Gemara solve onus anusa mafuta, which the Gemara must solve.
Because onus mafuta really undermines the moch under. No, no,
no. He says explicitly.
Because Rabbi Yossi says explicitly that anusa and mafuta don't need havchana. At the end of the day, what motivated the kasha? If it weren't for anusa and mafuta, when the Gemara was going down the road of mishameshes b'moch, which requires advanced knowledge. There are three types of bios here that the Gemara has. There's the bia where you have advanced knowledge before the bia that you don't want to get pregnant. There's the bia that you have the knowledge at the time of the bia that you don't want to get pregnant. And then there's the bia that at the time of the bia you still don't know you don't want to get pregnant, right? Which are the cases that you know before the bia even comes about that you don't want to get pregnant? Giyores, shifcha who might have heard her master planning a free her, a shvuya. What is the case of bia where you know at the time, but you don't know beforehand? Anusa mavuta. And what is the case that you don't even know at the time?
Shein
v'ayin. So Tosus's point is that Shein v'ayin, ultimately I'm willing to accept. I'm willing to accept that maybe Rabbi Yossi would say she requires shlosh hachana. Why? Because Rabbi Yossi never says that she doesn't.
Isn't that the brighter though?
So what in the Gemara said Bishlam Agiores and Bishlam Ashvuya and Bishlam Ashivcha, but Yotze B'Shein V'Ayin Mai, the Gemara could have said what? Ein Achanami. Rabbi Yosef would agree. They didn't do that at the time, why not?
Because they
knew Anusa Mefuta was coming. And Mishameshes B'moch, which was the answer we were using until now, wasn't going to solve Anus and Mefuta. But once you know that the answer is Misapeches, which means not only category A, women who know before the B even happens that they want to have prevent the pregnancy, but once you know that even a woman who knows at the time of the Bia that she wants to prevent the pregnancy can, by being Misapeches, then Shein V'ayin becomes less of a problem. Then it's only a question that the Braisa said Shifcha. And you're assuming what? The Gemara, the Makshan thought, what about Shifcha? That Shifcha meant every Shifcha who goes free, including B'Shein V'ayin. Could the Gemara not have given the Teretz, there's two kinds of Shvachos, the one who gets freed regularly versus the one who's Shifcha? Yeah, the Gemara could have. But it knew that it wasn't going to solve the problem for Rabbi Yosei, with Rabba's Teretz of Isha Mizana Mishameshes B'moch, because they knew that Anusa Mefuta was coming. Once you've solved the problem of Anusa Mefuta by saying Isha Zona Misapechas, and an Anusa Mefuta can do that as well, but a Yotze B'Shein Ma'ayin can't, okay, so Rabbi Yosei is Moda by Yotze B'Shein Ma'ayin. The Rishonim who somehow explain that the Gemara's Teretz works even for Yotze B'Shein Ma'ayin, however that works, I don't even remember how, they feel compelled, they think that the Makshan is motivated independently of the Braisa of Anusa Mefuta. In other words, the Makshan is motivated primarily by, the Braisa says, or Yehuda says, Shifcha Shanishtachara. That means every case of Shichra. How is an Eved, how is an Amma freed? How is an Shifcha Kenan is freed? Kesev? Shtar? Or Rashi Yevarim? Kesef and Shtar works just fine. Rashi Yevarim, well, must be included somehow as well. There has to be a Hesper. But Tosus is happy to say, once the Gemara figures out the problem on Usa Mefuta, we can swallow the fact that the two kinds of Shvachos and Rabbi Yosei is Moda by Yotze B'Shem Ayin. Yes,
doesn't it seem, though, by like the Shant of Atari, that Rabbi Yosei would still, like, because they don't go back and mention anything about
Yotze.
Correct.
If you had asked me, without careful Iyun in the Gemara, when I finished reading through the Sugya, did I think that the Gemara had solved all the problems or it left out Shein V'ayin? Which did I think? The Gemara sounds like it solves all the problems. Now the truth is, if you go back now and you say like Tosus, it has solved all the problems that it has to solve. It is explained, Rabbi Yosei, by Shifcha, Sam Shvachos, Shvuya, Giores, and Anusa Mefuta. Did it explain Rabbi Yosei by every Shifcha? No, but you know what? The Gemara could say, I don't have to explain Rabbi Yosei by every Shifcha. As long as I explain Rabbi Yosei by some of the Shvachos, that's sufficient. Okay. Fine. Any other questions about this sukkah? Okay, now let's turn our attention to the problem of our Mishnah. Haba albito. A man does what with his daughter? He has bia. Okay, what kind of bia? Is she married or not married? Survey says? Not married. How old is she? Let's say like Rabbi Yosei, she's a Nara. What does the father do to her, with her? He's either onesar or mefateh her. Otherwise, we wouldn't be talking about this. What does the Mishnah say the din is? Kam lebe derabba minei. V'lo yaso anosh yanesh. If, what would the din be implied by the Mishnah if there were no kam lebe derabba minei? Mishalim is kanas. So there's a little problem. What's the little problem? He would be paying himself. He'd be paying himself. He'd be taking money from the right pocket, putting it in the left pocket. That's not called Tashlumin. We don't insist that he come to Beis Din, pay himself the money. If he has no money, it's okay. The debt and the receivable cancel each other. Done. No problem. Tosfos here has a very brief comment, which we're going to go back then and look at the earlier Tosfos, which we read 6 months ago, 5 months ago, that I want to chazert before we get to the Ramban. Tosfos here has a brief comment. Habal bito. Thank you, Sam. Now, Mati, you can take over.
Above, Bito, Lamai de Muki, Masnissim de Perkin Sur, Kamufuta, Sarik Lukma, Bishabala, Bagra, Kitifrisha's lab.
Now, I don't remember, was this actually in the Tosas, or this was in Tosas and Sanhedrin? The Kasha was in Tosas and Sanhedrin. Okay. So what does Tosas say here? Lamai de Muki Masnissim de Perkin Sur, and if I had a choice, I would be magia the word lamai, and what would I change it to? Who said that? Correct. Laman. How does the Gemara in Ben Soramora, what is the problem the Gemara Ben Soramora has with this Mishnah? Not with this Mishnah, with the first Mishnah. On Haba'al, Haba'al, Alachosav, Alachosav, Alachosimo, Val Eshazachiv, Valachos Ishto. What is the problem that they have? No. Let's say Achosav. Achosav, Achosav, Achosimo. Mati?
There's Kimle Vidaravine, not because of a Mises Basin, but because of a Bitim Lahatzilan.
Okay. So there's a din, and if you're Rodef after an erva to rape her, she has to be the Arayos, not just Stama woman, but after an erva to rape her, so you're supposed to say Kimle Vidaravine. If you're Rodef after someone to kill him, and you break Kalim in the process, you're potter from paying because Kimle Vidaravine, the theoretical chi of Misa, that you are potentially chai for chasing someone, is like you getting Mises Basin, and if you break Kalim at the same time, you're potter from paying. So the same din applies by Rodef Achar Erva V'Achar Azachor. So Tosus asked the Kasha, so the Gemara asked the Kasha, how can you say that din, if in fact the Mishnah says you pay Knas by Achoso, Achosavav, Achosimo, there are Rayos. If you're Ones them, then there shouldn't be knas because of Kamlei B'Drabamine. The din of the Arayos of One should be in the second Mishnah, not in the first Mishnah, in the Seifa, not in the Reisha. That's the question. So, what is the Gemara in, what is Rav Papa, I believe, in Perek Ben Soramar answer to the Kasha?
It's all Mefata.
It's all Mefata. The Mishnah is dealing with Mefata. Which Mishnah, which part of the Mishnah must he be talking about at least? The first. By the way, Eishes Achiv and Achos Ishto, well, Eishes Achiv is the only question. Eishes Achiv is a Basula. She had Averson. That's all. And then the brother divorced her. Okay, so there's Kares, it's an Erva, but she's a Basula. She's a Basula. So, if you say that that Mishnah is a Mefuta, so then, what is happening in our Mishnah here? Because it's the same Mishnah. What is the father doing with his daughter? He's being mefata her. He's being mefata her. And the Mishnah says, why is he pata from paying again? He's pata from paying because kamalei b'derabim yinei. So now, the plot thickens. Without going into all the details, though Tosus is going to start it, you realize the real conundrum that the Rishonim face. Tosus is going to give it teretz, but it's a very problematic teretz. It's actually Yerushalmi, I believe. And it's still very problematic. What is the problem that's raised? Well, if the father, you can't say it's the father raping his daughter, because then the entire Mishnah would be include rape, and the first part of the Mishnah would be wrong because there would be because a ma'ane sasachoso would be part of knas because of the theoretical kalmei b'drabamine. So you have to say it's all mafata. Well, here's the story: if a father's mafata his daughter, why should there be no tashlumen miman of shach?
Because it goes to him.
Or
if it goes to her, there are only two possible parties here it could go to. Without getting into all the details, it either goes to him, which is not called payment. He's pata because taking it from your right pocket, putting it into your left pocket, is not called being chayiv. And if it goes to her, well, if she's a mefuta, then he's pata because she was milchalas. Yes.
Is it possible to say that the kimle b'drabine is like lab dafka, like that?
A rodef achar chaver v'shiber kelim.
No, that they're talking about an armish. The reason why he's punter is because of Kimle B'Drabamine. Meaning...
Lav Davka?
Yeah, like he's never going to pay because he's dying. But, like, not necessarily that it would have gone to him in the first place.
For, I'll tell you why not. I should dismiss the question. Why is the question, what's the answer to that question? Why can't that be? Chas v'shalom. Chas v'shalom. That is not an acceptable answer. That's not an acceptable answer. That's a reason why you might wish to consider what are you missing. But it is never an acceptable answer to say, the answer to the question, because no Rishon said it. The fact that no Rishon said it might suggest I'm missing something, because they're very smart, and there are enough of them, so there are a lot of really smart people, and no one thought to give that teretz. But that doesn't mean, and it could be you came up with a teretz, they didn't. But it's certainly not an acceptable answer. Not because no Rishon said. So why can't you say, make a suggestion? The Mishnah says, lav dafka, it doesn't mean, it's not wise, pater anyway. That, maybe the kamai, the rabbinate part is lav dafka. See, I'm going to give you an answer which you might argue even supports your suggestion. Your suggestion. There is a, in fact, that's a great answer to the, I know what the answer to the kash is. I know the answer. You just gave me the answer. Well, you didn't. You gave me the question that led me to the answer. I have an answer that the Rishonim don't say, and I think it's a good answer. Now that if you could understand my twists and turns and all the, try to figure out how the gears are turning in my head. You made me think. I was going to suggest to you that the reason it doesn't work is because how do I know when the Mishnah says Kamei Rabbeinu, it really means Kamei Rabbeinu, and it's not because the money is his? Because the Mishnah doesn't only list the Erev HaBita. It lists other Arayas where the money wouldn't go to him. And therefore the Kamei Rabbeinu must be the reason there. But that, in fact, is the answer to his question. Maybe Eina Hanami, maybe by Bito you don't need Kamei Rabbeinu. Maybe it's just in the list, Agav, the other ones. Because the Mishnah is, what is the Mishnah listing? The Mishnah is listing all arayos that have misas based in where the woman could still be a basula. It doesn't list.
The Ravon seemed very preoccupied that the Mishnah.
Well, it doesn't actually. Truly, it does. There's one it doesn't get.
But it doesn't answer the question.
It doesn't list Ashes Achiv or Ashes Beno. Both of whom could be basulos. But still to strengthen my suggestion, bito bas bito bas beno bas ishto bas beno bas bita is a I don't call it a trope, but it's sort of an expression that's used. And thus, it could be that the Mishnah is citing, you know, six of these things, five of which you need kamei rabbeinu, one of which you don't. Right? That's a reasonable answer, isn't it? The din is true. The din is certainly true for, the din is correct for all six. The reason is relevant for five of the six. Namely, basbino basbito, where the kanas there goes to his son-in-law or his son, and bas ishto goes to her real biological father as opposed to him who's the stepfather, and bas bina and bas bita goes to his step-son-in-law, his step-son, in the case of Baal Bito and Hanami, you'd be pata for more than one reason. I would have thought that's actually such a simple answer.
But also, the Ramban throughout his commentary is very hung up on it. It would only teach something if there was a Hava Mina that there wouldn't be that. And that doesn't really answer. And like, unless the Mishnah is just coming to teach we paskin like to teach you this whole Torah that we paskin that if it's for her, then she's Mochela, and if it's not, then it goes to him. But there's no hub. But if, assuming we already know what the correct stock is of who gets the knas, there's no kiddush in teaching veto.
So let's hold off till we get there. The Ramban could say that, but I think what I'm suggesting, even if you're correct in
ways, it has to deal with the fact that the reason is wrong and the fact that there's no kiddush of teaching it.
So I don't have to explain that. In other words, look, what's the chiddush in bito bito baspino, you know, basishto? What's the chiddush in basbino basbito basishto basbino basbita?
Well, once we know one of them, we know all of them.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I would say the Mishnah is giving you the list. The list is only complete, and we noticed there are three people left off this list. I pointed this out when we read the Mishnah. Which three people are left off of this list? Badafka.
Your grandmother.
No, not yours, but his wife's Eim Ishto, Eim Chamin V'Nein Chamoso. And they're left off, obviously, because they're not Pesulos, because they've had children already. So those three are left off bedafka because the din doesn't apply there. The din doesn't apply. The din, he is patur kanas, but not even besulos. Those, they're not naros besulos are patur from kanas. Right? Although I guess the first part of the Mishnah also, the gir, shu, and shifcha are not besulos. But here, in this list of the arayus, it's not because they're not besulos. It's because of kamle bidirabamine, whereas the im chamosov, im chamiv are because they're not besulos. Never even was a havami. They're not naros and they're not besulos. Let's put it that way. At least the Gioras, Shvuya, and Shifcha in the first part of the Mishnah were naros. Just because of the suffix, whether the besulos, they don't get a knas. So I think the simple answer could have just been that it's agav grara nakat bito. Once you're going to list bas bino, bas bito, bas ishto, bas bino, bas bita, so you throw in bito as well. The din is the din. Just you don't need kamed rabbin and chanami. He'd be potter even without coming to Rabbi Nehi, because you're putting something from the right pocket, putting it in the left. Take it from the right pocket, put it in the left pocket.
I mean, we know why Rishonim wouldn't say that. Never bring out an answer if we possibly have a better
Okay, problem. Fine. But I think that's a good shot answer. I don't know why nobody suggests, at least suggests that. It's
because
not
no one. It's not an answer that Rishonim would typically suggest.
Nah, I don't think, I don't know if that's true. I haven't systematically studied where I could point you to 30 places they do. I think. Well, given how strained and stretched the Ukimtas are, it would seem to me that's the pretty, you know, what does Tosa say? So again, the bottom line is that as soon as you say by Bito, you're dealing with a Mafuta. If you're forced into that corner because of Rapapa, in Ben Sora Umora, where Rapapa says, if she's Anusa, there's no tashlumen by any of their eyes, no knas, because it's potential kamei b'rabbinei of rodeif. So there has to be mafutas. So as soon as you say that, you know there's a problem with bito, because of a man of shach, either he's getting the knas or she's getting the knas. If he's getting the knas, there's no knas, and if she's getting the knas, she doesn't get anything, because she was mochelas. That's the starting assumption.
Tosos answer that crazy?
Yes. Tosus in Sanhedrin points out why this Tosus is crazy. Why this answer is crazy. It's a Yerushalmi, by the way. It's still crazy. What does Tosus say? What's the answer? Who's reading for me, Mati? Finish the Tosus.
Here?
Right here.
Didn't the relationship between
Rabbi Yossi
and
Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbi
Yehuda?
Sarech la'ukma? I just want to hear that last line again. Maybe you did.
Sarech la'ukma
b'shabal la'ubagra. Shabal la'ubagra. So let's trace this out in our minds. Okay, the father is ba'aleha when she's a nara. It's a regular case of nara. She's never been married. She isn't married. She's never been married. What happens when he's ba'aleha? Then and there, the knas should go to him. Now she becomes a bogeres. Now you know that then what happened if somebody else rapes a girl when she's a nara and the father fails to start the din Torah? And then she becomes a bogeris. What's the din? What? The knas. By the way, I noticed the Rambam says, and I don't know if there's a beferish gemara, I don't think we've seen it yet, the Rambam says that Boshe is a pagam, don't go to her. Only the knas. I think I know why, actually. What's that? It might be based upon the fourth parak. Because the Boshe is a pagam is nesek. It's not dependent upon when she was on the badin. Well, to the extent that Tsar also, somehow he's entitled to, for whatever reason. It's Mama. Okay, but I'm sorry, I shouldn't have raised that issue. Bottom line is, if someone else rapes her, and she's and she's not Amda Bedin, and she becomes a Bogeris, Bagra, to whom does the Knas go? To her. Once Amda Bedin, then she becomes a Bogeris, to whom does the Knas go? It goes to her father, and if he dies subsequently, where does the Knas go? His Yorshim. If he's got sons, she gets nothing. So now what happens? Instead of it being someone else, it's the father is the someone else. So what happens? He rapes her. I'm sorry, he is mafateh her. So what is the din now?
Goes to himself.
Well, now, it depends. What depends? What does depend upon a din?
When he comes to din.
When's amda b'din. Now, what's going to happen when the father is the one who's mefateh her?
She can't bring him to din.
There's never amda b'din. There's no toveah. He's going to be toveah himself to a din?
She can't wait until she becomes a bogeret and then bring him to beis din.
Well, but the point is that right now he's the only one who can be toveah. The fact that it's lo amda b'din is why?
Because he's the
Plus, in effect, he's mochel to himself. He doesn't need to be omed bedin. The idea of saying in this case, because loam de bedin, now she can be tovei or she's no geris. That's ridiculous. What, he was supposed to go to Beis Din and have a, you know, have a joke in Torah? You know, it's like this is some movie about this where he runs from each side of the show.
There's that Pixar short before the old guy's playing chess against himself.
Oh yeah, I never seen it, but that sounds like I would if I would make up a cartoon. That excellent, okay? You go to both sides. It's ridiculous. And really, ultimately, it means he shouldn't have to pay in the first place. Right? If the father, let me give you a thought. Let's say the father, let's say a man rapes, is mefata a girl when she's an ara. And the father says to the guy, instead of being tovei din Torah, he says, macholach, macholach, macholach. What's the din? I don't think that she can be tovei when she becomes a bogeres. He doesn't have to go to the din in order to be mochel. So in this case, he doesn't have to go to the din to be mochel. He's mochel to himself. Done. Move on. Alex?
Granted that it's on a technicality that he's not suing, and we can say, well, that's ridiculous to say that she can later be tovei because it's only a technicality that he didn't bring the case to begin with. But it's a technicality on a technicality, meaning it's just as ridiculous that she doesn't get the money because of the technicality that it would have gone to him.
No. That's not a technicality. That's really fundamentally different. The Torah awards Knas to the father. No one does the Torah say that Knas goes to the girl. The Chiddush of Chazal is that if the father wasn't Omeid B'din, and now she turns into a Bogeres, that she can be Tovas the Knas. That's a big Chiddush. Big Chiddush. One could have said, remember, according to the Rambam that I mentioned, Boshes and Pagam go to the father still. It doesn't matter when. That's it. If you damage the father when she's a Nara, damages go to him. Knas is a Chiddush that if she's Bagra, she can be Tovas the Knas.
That it should be paid or that it should be paid to him?
I'm sorry?
Is the Ikar the Knas that the raper should pay or that the father should be paid?
Both. No, you're speaking from a distinctly modern perspective. You're not thinking about the vantage point of the Torah. The rapist is supposed to pay to the father. That's all the Torah specifies, ever.
And we can't do the calling and say that there's a...
How do we even know that the rapist ever pays to the girl? Let's say the father drops dead.
But that's the second step in the analysis. The first step is what's fundamental, that the money should be paid.
I think the posture... Again, I don't even think you need to go there. I would just say that if the father can be mochel, another rapist, and she can't be tovas later, it's an automatic understood mechila for himself. Ezra?
I don't understand why you think that he's mochel here.
Yeah,
he's not mochel. There is no knas yet. And when she becomes a bogari, now there is a knas.
So what I'm telling you is that that when another man rapes her and the father's mochel before they go to a din Torah, I don't think we say he can't be mochel. I think Ivadai can be mochel. So again, here it's no different.
Here there's nothing to be mochel. There's nothing there.
No, the whole point is, I would say the following, Adaraba, I would say that in the first place there can never be knas in this case after she turns bogeres, because when another man rapes her, the fact that if the father was only bedin before she became a bogeres, the fact that she should collect the money is because when the rape happened, the ischaivus and knas was created, where in theory, if you had it in Torah, the guy would have to pay to the father, and now she can collect that ultimately. But in a case where the father raped her, where there's no possibility of him having to pay himself, I would say the knas never even gets off the ground. There's nothing to be tovas later.
That's the genius of it, though.
No, it's not.
That's what
you
get around the kid.
You're thinking like a base medrashbacher without any common sense. No. Right? It's a halacha that makes no... In other words, I can figure out a chop. It sounds so clever. But when you think about what it means in common sense terms, it's the antithesis of common sense.
It's a bit of a
choppy. It's choppy and ridiculous.
It's genius to get around the kimlay. The only way you can get around the kimlay is if it's not in the beginning.
Leave out kimlay. We're not talking about kimlay. We're not even getting there yet. We want to just talk about, without Kimlay, why might there have been a Chayiv? So I don't hear those words come.
But you need to get around the Kimlay here.
No. You don't need to do... No. No, you don't have to get around... Kimlay is going to path to the father no matter what.
Right.
But I want to know why in the absence of Kimlay is he Chayiv. So don't tell me... you're saying something... I don't know why you're saying getting around the Kimlay.
We're saying, if there were no Kamlei de Rabamine, why would the father be Chayiv anyway? The mission applies, he's only Patur because of Kamlei. But let's say there were no Kamlei. Let's say we do away with the principle, we don't believe in it. So why is he Chayiv to pay? After all, the money goes to himself. Ah, Kisham de Bedin. As Kisha Bagra Kodem Sham de Bedin. What do you mean Kodem Sham de Bedin? Of course, there's never going to be Amida. There never could have been Amida Bedin.
He asks her for. Himself, that he asks her, "What's your
bar mitzvah?
So please bring me."
Enough late sonos, please. He's got bigger. I don't think if a man for me mafata his daughter, I don't think paying the kanasa is going to be that much of the kapara. To be perfectly frank, but that's the problem with Tosis's teretz. You're saying that if we were to be done right now on the father before she turns into Bulgaris, and we would say, "What is the din? Am I chayiv to pay?" What would we say to the father?
No.
You're potter, why? Because you owe the money to yourself. Done, move on, you know, go to therapy now. Okay, very nice. But, and now you're going to turn and say, now that she turns into a Bulgaris, we could say, aha, but you see, because you weren't all made by din, now we can make you pay. Evil genius, soupies we are. That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. The chiyuv never existed. The chiyuv was nimchal meikara. That's Tosfos and Sanhedrin, if I'm not mistaken, makes that point. Where's Tosfos? Where's Sanhedrin? Where is this Ayin Gimel Amid Beis? Unless that's where just Tosfos quotes the Teretz. He says, "The Ma Amida Badin Shayach Bedover Shehu Shalom." Yeah. This teretz is the problem with dismissing the teretz is that the Yerushalmi says it, right?
Why would you say that? If
what?
That's
exactly what the Ramban says. That why you can't dismiss it? I understand. I read the Ramban too. I need to reread the Ramban. But what?
Why would Tosfos give both?
Well, Tosfos here doesn't bother to elaborate, but Tosfos in Sanhedrin quotes the teretz and then, you know, and then smashes it. Right? He says. Right, he says, "Biyushalmi parach la mashani kigam shall speak alamad v'din ad shemes ha'av." Right, Yushalmi says it, but it doesn't make any sense. All right. So anyway, so that's what Tosfos says here. Let's turn back to Tosfos at the beginning of the perek. That I asked you to look at first on the Makaros. I don't need the beginning of the Tosos, but starting on the second line, Mati, if you could. Is it still very warm in here? Or no? No, okay. Just me. The Kasha Luri.
Where are we?
The Tosos Valishas Achiv on the Chavtes Amar Aleph, second Tosos from the bottom, end of the second line in Tosos. Avram Lerapapa
Demuki Hafmasisin Dumafuta the Perikan Sorer.
Right, as we explain why.
Tikshe Tehechem Mate Lukme Hake Hanisaris Vinisgarsha Knasa Latma the Kivinilatma Mufuta in La Knap.
So Tosfos thought the following. If this Mishnah, if we're assuming that the Perek, if you're dealing with Mafuta, then in a case of Nisarsa and Nisgarsha, which is the case of Eishes Achiv in our Mishnah, right? Now, as the Yerushalmi, we had a Kasha. How do you ever pay Knas to Eishes Achiv? Why would you not pay Knas to Eishes Achiv? Well, because she's a married woman. That's Kamei D'Rabbanei. Ah, you say she's divorced. But if she's divorced, Nisarsa Niskarsha, what's the din? Knas Aliyah. There are three Shitas. There are only two Shitas in the Mishnayas. What are the two Shitas in the Mishnayas? Rabbi Yosei HaGalili holds that a girl who had Erisin only and then got divorced To whom does the knas go?
There is none.
There is none. Rabbi Akiva says in the Mishnah, knas ala asma, not to the father, even though normally a girl after erusin and divorce is still b'shus aviyah, like to marry off again, knas goes to the girl, Rabbi Akiva says. There is another version of Rabbi Akiva in the Braisa that says, no difference between whether she was nisarsa and nisgarsha or not, knas goes laviha. But right now, we're thinking Rabbi Akiva, the Mishnah. So Tosfos, now remember, if we're talking about mefateh by Eisha Sachet, and she's nisarsa and nisgarsha, the only way, again, if she's nisarsa and nisgarsha, Eisha Sachet, and obviously she was nisarsa and nisgarsha, the only way you hold as a knas is if you hold like Rabbi Akiva, and what happens to the knas? La'atzma. So if you put that together with Rapapa Shita Mefuta, you have a problem. Because if knas is li'atzma, and she's Mefuta, then how much do you pay? Nothing, because she's Mocheles. Alex?
And we can't say it's honest
because of Rapapa. If it were honest, there would be no knas because of Kamei B'Drabamine. Because he's Meschai Ben Asher when he's chasing on a raper.
There were other ways of understanding.
For Rapapa. The kasha is only within Rapapa. Right? The kasha here, the kashas for the most part will disappear if you assume, not like Rapapa, if you assume that the Mishnayos can be talking about Anusa as well, like Yochol Latzila Be'achamevarev, take that as the teretz. Right? Take it a case of rape where you could have saved him by just chopping off one of his limbs. One limb in particular would have been very effective. So assume that if it was a case of Yochav Atzilo Becha Me'evara, in such a case, so then there's no common drabim, so she could be Anusa, and all the problems of the Mishnah get solved. Alex?
So you say that even for Rav Papa, even though we say it's in the future for the reason that we give for many of the reasons, but there is a strange lesson in that Mishnah, which is Mishai Ben Asha, which seems redundant, and maybe that creates a possibility.
Mechayev, what's that?
I forget exactly.
But I don't know who's talking about that Mishnah yet. We're not yet up to the Mishnah later.
Rav Papa held.
I don't know if he's the Mishnah even that Rav said Harodef Chaver Lahargo V'Shiber Kalim is Potter. Why? Because a rodef is patur on any nezek that he does, because a rodef, even if he never gets killed, b'shas redifas kamei b'drabamine. So based upon that, the same thing is not only rodef achar chaver lahargo, it's rodef achar erva. So you immediately have a problem by eishes achiv. You have any problem by any of the arayos. In our Mishnah, achav tesam and aleph. How can you say this knas when you should say kamei b'drabamine of rodef? The answer is mefuta, so it's not rodef. Right, you agree on that?
Yeah.
So now, if you say that, now what about Eishes Achiv though? Which is in our Mishnah, Chav Tesam and Aleph.
My question was really on the last one.
Okay. So now, what are you going to do here? Came in the last of Mufute in Laknas, Karabina Gmar, Veshnar Mishun, the Midaita of Avda. Chitema, go ahead, Mati.
Chitema. Chitema.
So you solve a problem. If you say that a nisarsa and nisgarsha like Rabbi Akiva the Braisa, the knas still goes to Aviyah, then this Mishnah works fine. You can say this Mishnah is a case of Mefuta, nisarsa and nisgarsha is Eishes Achiv, and nonetheless the knasa goes to Aviyah, so now you understand why this knas. But now you have a problem, which is
typically,
the knasa la'aviyah havei. Ila atzma tikshei le de machala. Mimanav shach tikshei sefer. Tosfos says the sefer and true. This is a kasha, no matter what. In other words, if it's mefuta, the sefer is a problem, no matter what, because the father who's mefata his daughter, either the knas goes to, and she was this. Let's say. The only way to the only way you'd get the money to go to Har is Nisarsa of Nisgarsha. But even if Nisarsa of Nisgarsha, the money either goes to Har, according to Rabbi Kiva the Mishnah, in which case she's Mochelis because it's Mefuta, or the money goes to him, in which case she's not Chayv anything. So Mamanavshach, it doesn't make sense. What's the only way, Tosus, without even spelling it out, what's the only way that you could have explained the Mishnah later that would have solved the problem? There's only one way to solve the problem. why to say that the father is pater only because of Kalmei Ramne, otherwise he would have been chayev. To whom would he have been chayev? To his daughter. And then what would the case have been? Anusa and Nisarsa v'Niskarsha. Then Nisarsa v'Niskarsha, Knasa Liatzma, it's Anusa, so she wasn't Mochelas. So now the father should have to pay his daughter when he rapes her, except for a Kamlei v'Rabamine. But since Rapapa ties your hands and says it has to be Mefuta, we're stuck. Because Marashach, the Knas either goes, even if you throw in Nisarsa v'Niskarsha, to explain why the Knas might not be going to him, still, the Knas either goes to him, according to Rabbi Kiva the Braisa, or it goes to her, according to Rabbi Kiva the Mishnah, or it goes to no one, according to Rabbi Yosef Galili. There would be no payment, even without Kamlei v'Rabamine. The only way to get a payment that's cancelled only because of Kamlei v'Rabamine, otherwise he would have paid, is Rabbi Akiva of the Mishnah, Nisarsa v'Niskarsha by Anusa. That's the only way. And Rapapa killed the Anusa possibility. Nisarsa v'Niskarsha, that's easy to get. Rabbi Akiva of the Mishnah is easy to get. That's not a problem. Rapapa tied her hands because he said it has to be Mefuta. That's what he said. Umiyu b'Yushalmi. Either way, same thing. So that's the same teretz that Tosus quotes later. And only in Sanhedrin does Tosus take the thing and throw it against the wall and smash it to smiths. So there's another possible answer. The Maida Amri B'Yushalmi. So that's another solution. There's a Yushalmi. We're going to have to look at this. I don't think we saw this Yushalmi yet. I think the Yushalmi is, in fact, you know what, before we, I apologize, before we read the Ramban tomorrow, we have to read the Yushalmi that I gave you, that was on the back of the sheet. So I gave you pages in the Yushalmi. So please, before you do the Ramban, send me your start of the Ramban, please do that Yushalmi, which we'll do tomorrow. But Tosafot says, in the Yushalmi, there's a sheet that you can't be, a girl can't be Mohan Knas. So then what is the solution? How do you explain the Mishnah according to that Yushalmi? For a papa, it's Mefuta, it's Nisarsa v'Niskarsha, like Rabbi Akiva, the Mishnah, that Nisarsa v'Niskarsha, Knas Aliatzma, and you say, ah, she was Mochelas? Yeah, Boshis Tepkam, she was Mochelas, but Knas Mechila doesn't work. However, Tosus doesn't like that because of Mihu, B'Shasti Dan.
Mihu, B'Shasti Dan, Mashma, the Einlach, Afilu Knas, Demuki, Ha'de'elu Hainaluk, and the command of Gemara, Yisam Mefuta, Sheinlach.
Remember that, Gemara? In the midst of Kamlei v'Rabamine, so Tosfos knew that already. So in that Gemara, it was clear that there are cases by Einara where there's no Knas at all because of Mechila, when she's willing. And therefore, says Tosfos, the Bavli would apparently hold that Mechila works by everything, not just by Boshes HaPagam, but by Knas as well. But for the Yushalmi, you could solve the problem by stating that the Mishnah later is, again, Mefuta, like Rapapa, but she's Nisarsa v'Niskarsha, Knasa le'atzma, and Mechila doesn't work by Knas. Or the alternative was that even though she was a Mefuta, nonetheless, because the father was Mefateh her, he owes himself money, but he wasn't Omid Bedin, and therefore when he dies, or when she is when she is Bagra, then Knasa le'atzma, and she can, the Knas goes to her, and she can mitoveah him in Din, which again is a very difficult teretz, but that's what the Yushalmi actually says. Okay.